in Podcast Detroit, recording live. Prepare yourself for a hoppy drive. If you're chilling at home, pop that growler and just kick back for the next 2 hours. It's the end of the week, so here's to the weekend. It's Better on Draft with Rob, Matt, Nick, and Ken.
And we are live, episode 202, Better on Draft podcast. Yeah. Back in studio. Just a little quick note, we will not be in studio next week, Black Friday. Or as Rob would say, why's it gotta be Black Friday?
It's just Friday, motherfucker.
We'll be spending time with our families, enjoying the week off at the end of the month. We will be back in 2 weeks. But for right now, we are live once again, episode 202, live on Facebook, facebook.com/betteronDraft. You can join us in the chat and chat with us, including if we have a guest, you can talk to the guest through us. Nick, how's it going?
Happy Friday, man.
It is Friday, that is for sure. That's why we're on this show.
Yeah, yeah.
98% of the shows have been Friday nights.
Is that like a true statistic? 98%?
I mean, probably. That sets us up for 4 to 5.
Yeah.
Probably. Non-Friday night shows.
Probably.
What are you drinking over there? It's a full glass.
Yeah, it is.
Glad you're sharing with everyone.
Yeah, here.
I don't want your pity share.
It's dildo.
Of course, he brings the dildo.
Want your dildo brewing.
So this is the full glass is Dildo Brewing's Blue-Eyed Buoy. It's their blueberry blonde. This glass here is the Brew Detroit, Cold Brew Detroit, their coffee stout that I think this just came out recently. And then this one is the Harpoons Rec League. They're New England.
All right. And what do you think of them?
The blueberry blonde is a blueberry blonde.
Nothing to write home about. It's a blonde that tastes like blueberries.
It tastes like blueberries and a blonde.
All right.
The Cold Brew Detroit, though, is pretty good.
Where's that from again?
From Brew Detroit.
Okay.
And then the New England from Harpoon, the Rec League, I enjoyed it. It's on draft, haven't had it on in the bottle yet, so this is the first time I've had it in the bottle.
It's probably better on draft.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the name of the show? It's not better in bottle.
That'd be a terrible show name.
B.O.B. as opposed
probably
to B.O.D.
Yeah.
That's
some copyright infringement right there.
Yeah. Bob.
Yeah.
Bob Podcast.
Yeah,
that sounds horrible.
Anyways, Rob, what's going on?
Hey, chilling out. Just pretty much trying to enjoy some beer and just kind of glad I got through the week.
Rough week at work.
It was pretty much a rough week at work, and it's just been taking some time from all of the trivia events that I've had to go through from the last week and a half. That I'm still working on getting my voice back. And just as I'm doing that, they were asking to see if I could sub for a show tomorrow on top of already. Well, basically, I almost was going to do it, but it just was not going to work out. So I was like, no, I can't do it. But it's like I already have.
Busy as it is.
Already have a state final to host in Lansing at Lansing Brewing Company on Sunday and then my regular show on Monday. So I'm trying to pretty much, at least at the homestead, give the voice a break. If only, you know, a couple certain teenagers and a preteen would stop acting up.
Damn kids at home, man.
It's interesting when you talk about, you know, like voicing and voice acting and doing like an MC job, because a lot of people do it over and over again. And I still find it amazing when I would go to conventions and talk to voice actors, and these guys would get hammered the night, like every single night they're out.
Yeah.
Next day they're fine.
Like Duke Nukem?
Yeah, John St. John.
John St. John.
They can literally just keep going, and they talk about how much they take care of their throat, take care mm-hmm. of like what they want. They watch what they drink, and they you know, do their, you know, sugar water or honey or whatever else. Like,
Billy West is another one.
Yeah, like they'll just drink pure honey. Stimpy. I just can't do that.
I know.
Gonna kick ass and chew bubble gum.
All out of gum.
All out of gum.
That was actually pretty good there, Rob. That's actually pretty good.
So I'm drinking the Flying Buffalo Modern Times right now.
Same.
I do have a few bottles in, or a few cans in here, but I'm more excited for our guest to be drinking some of what our guest brought.
I see five big cans on this table.
And I see four four people.
Everyone takes a can.
Let's challenge. Do it to it. Challenges. Welcome to the show, Eric from Da Hops.
Hey, thanks for having me. Super excited to be here.
What right. is Da Hops?
Da Hops is an alpine vibed lager house out in Standale, Michigan. We're out in Standale Walker area. We've kind of been aiming to find what our calling is, and over the last year and 3 months or so, we've really committed to the lagering. We'll have anywhere between 7 to 10 lagers on tap at any given time. Honing in that craft. We see a big need in West Michigan for more exposure to lagers, and it's something that I really enjoy drinking. And
I was going to say, not necessarily more exposure to beer. There's a lot of beer over
there's
there.
A lot of beer, yeah. Not a lot of lagers, though. But, you know, we try to do our best, and all of our lagers are brewed in accordance to the Rheinheitsgebot, all true lagered for minimum 8 weeks. Yeah.
Nice.
Now, what do you do there?
I'm the head brewer. I'm the only brewer there right now. So, yeah, I've been there for about a year and 4 months.
All right.
Nice. What got you into brewing?
Initially, I got into brewing. I was bar backing, working in bars, fell in love with beer just from behind the counter, serving them. And I was just really interested in you know, what gave beer different flavors, what made it this color, why is this one bitter and this one not. Just kind of, I guess, the typical, like, homebrew story, you know. Mm-hmm. I started as a homebrewer. I was working at a homebrew shop in Chicago, where I'm from. I worked at Omega Yeast Labs. I kind of set myself up to, you know, really dive into this industry. I was volunteering for 2 years before ever receiving a paycheck in this industry, just like sweeping floors and weighing out hops. Yeah,
basically cleaning out the tanks.
Yeah, all the fun stuff nobody wants to do, but you know, that's making beer is like 90% cleaning.
Right.
So yeah.
Everyone wants to brew their own beer until they have to realize they got to clean
exactly.
it all up.
And yeah, but that, I mean, it's cool that, you know, going through that initially. You know, I kind of knew what to expect. The fun part happened later when I started getting paid to do it. So,
I mean, making money, I think, makes everyone feel better about
Definitely.
What they're doing.
Yeah.
What was the first beer that you brewed over at Da Hops?
It was a lager, I believe.
That's a good start.
Yeah. I believe it was our Oktoberfest. It was our Marzen last year's rendition of our Oktoberfest. Yeah.
Now, what do you like? What is the challenge of making lager only or lager mostly beers?
I mean, I think the typical challenges are just terms of fermentation space. I mean, you got to really start scheduling out your brewing processes. I mean, we only have 4 fermenters. I guess that's a good way to start too. We're a 5-barrel system. We only have 4 fermenters, and to carry 7 to 10 lagers at a time. We're doing a lot of, you know, scheduling and spacing out our fermenters and, you know, just the timing thing, especially when we lager for eight weeks. So that's the biggest issue.
I was saying, because that is a lot of, I mean, and one of the big things that we tend to hear from some of the other breweries that we've had on is that they tend to stay away from the lagers mm-hmm. because of that, is that there isn't enough time to, you know, take up that space in that fermenter from all the other beers that everybody is clamoring for to come in. As much as they want to make that lager, they can't because they don't have the space for it or the time.
Yeah,
so that's got to be really tricky with that timing to be able to make those lagers, still have lagers on, and then kind of hope that you still have enough beer so that stays on long enough for your next lager to come out.
Yeah, for sure. We dedicate 50% of our fermentation space to lagering, and the others are, you know, we do ales as well. We do kind of trendy beers as well. It's not all just lagers, but that's the biggest issue is the space thing. But we're just purchasing a 10-barrel fermenter, so that'll help with distribution demands. Because we do sell quite a few kegs outside of the tap room as well.
Speaking of lagering, where's your alder?
Yeah.
We haven't done, here we go.
We haven't done an alp year.
Really?
Yeah, we haven't done an alp year. We try to maintain our, I guess, flagship lagers as well as sprinkle in some new fun lagering, styles of lagers, rather. So, like, we have a Schwartz beer. That's kind of our baby. That guy's won 4 awards now over the last year. It took home Best Black Lager in the London International Beer Awards. It won a silver at the U.S. Open Beer Championship, a silver at the Chicago the World Beer Championship, and then we just found out yesterday that it took home another silver out in Connecticut. But that's, you know, that's our baby. We always try to maintain that on tap. As well as like 4 other ones. So we haven't gotten around to it. It, you know, we could throw it on the docket and maybe you'll come out and visit us.
He loves his alt beers.
I do. I went to 6 breweries this week and I found 0 alt beers. So
did you campaign
Matt,
for them?
I did not. Matt did suggest to go to one brewery, but I definitely was not feeling up to it the next day for sure after hitting 6 in one night.
Feeling pretty down at that point.
Yeah, I definitely I went and worked out, so I mean, I did something proactive as opposed to reactive. The problem was is that getting around Seattle is not that easy.
No.
And it was like 15 minutes. It's like 15, 20 minutes south, southeast of where I needed to go. So it just wasn't the, like, I didn't want to spend like another hour and a half, 2 hour detour for a beer. So I know I'm going to be back in Seattle sometime. So I'm not too worried. I feel like my buddy thinks that I just live in Seattle, but I haven't, you know. Because I see him every single time, but he's like, I see you like once a month now. I see you more than I see my friends here. What was, you know, you mentioned growing up in Chicago. What is your opinion on the Chicago beer scene right now?
I mean, it's near and dear to my heart. It's all my best friends in the industry are still in Chicago. As in terms of the beer industry and where it's at now, I mean, it's mostly progressive. They do a lot of crazy shit out there, but and they do it well. I think Chicago is one of those markets. It's hard. It's you know, it's highly populated. You have to be good to survive. And there's a lot of breweries that have closed, and it's a shame. But it also makes the brewing industry in Chicago stronger,
more competitive.
It's definitely competitive. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you'll see neighborhoods that, you know, maybe a year before had, their first brew pub.
Mm.
You go back a year later and they got like 3, you know. It's just like, that happens a lot in the small little suburbs of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, they're, I feel like they're continuously pushing the envelope. Coming up with cool stuff. I don't think there's very many glitter beers out in Chicago now, thank God.
I think that much, that's a good thing.
Right, I don't know. There's still some of those that are out there.
Yeah.
It
boggles my mind.
Yeah.
But I say, when we were at the Fall Beer Fest this past month, who was pouring next to us when we were pouring for Rogue? Who was that to the right of us?
Oh, geez. I don't even remember.
I forgot. They had a glitter beer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I've actually had one.
I think it was a pumpkin beer because I think
The pumpkin glitter beer or whatever.
I remember Julia looking at me like, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? And then I looked down and because I just saw pumpkin and I'm like, all right, I want the pumpkin beer.
And next thing you know, it's glitter.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, well, I ain't going to pour it out. Yeah. So.
I don't think it was bad.
I didn't realize that you missed the Supernatural episode. Because when we had Supernatural on, they brought their
they put glitter dust on it.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, Matt made a huge mess, but they did bring us food. So,
oh my God,
everything kind of worked together. Do you guys have a food program over there?
Yeah, we do. We have a pretty extensive menu. We do a little bit of everything. We've had at one point like Filipino egg rolls. We do Mexican street tacos. We do Indonesian satay. Burgers, but I think, you know, we're pretty known for the burgers. The burgers are great. Tacos are great. I mean, we do pickle fries. We do beer, cheese, pretzel. We run some Bavarian menu stuff as well to pair along with our Bavarian lagers. But, yeah, it's pretty extensive. Probably about, 30 items on the menu.
Nice. Very nice. We see a bunch of cans on the table here.
Yeah, we need to crack one of those open.
Is there one that you want to start with?
I mean, if you guys want to jump into some lagers first.
We're all about the beer on this show.
Yeah, I brought three. I brought Brahms Best, which is our Austrian red lager, Vienna lager. This guy won a silver at the World Beer Championship. Rock Beer, our German smoke lager. It's made with 30% of the grist bill being Beechwood smoked malt.
All right.
This guy won a gold yesterday, which is pretty cool.
Hell yeah. All right.
Our premium lager is what we call it. It's a German Pilsner. This guy is one of our mainstay, just clean Pilsner lagers, 4.5%.
Let's start with the Pilsner then. Yeah. Start clean. Work our way to the dirt flagship. Stuff.
Yep.
I also brought we were drinking some coffee beers, but I brought a coffee brown ale. It's a nut brown ale.
Oh boy.
You're a little redeemed.
You didn't make the alt beer, but you just sang sweet music to Ken.
He's a lager house, and an alt beer is a lager, so. It's not like I just kind of half expected, you know?
I just
expect people to bring me the beer that I feel like I've earned.
Speaking of, there's an email that's out there that you have to answer.
I did see the email, and I laughed a little bit.
I'm leaving that alone. That's yours.
All right. I've got, here, let me finish this.
You're about to finish up your glass there, Ken.
All right. So as far as while they're doing it, the pouring there, can you tell us about basically the space? What when someone walks into the hops, what are they going to see?
Yeah, it's a bright space. It's welcoming for sure. We're kid friendly. We do kids food menu as well. We offer a variety of different non-alcoholic beverages as well as cider and wine. But yeah, I mean, we have pool tables upstairs that are free to play. We show movies on Thursdays on a projector upstairs. I don't know our capacity off the top of my head, but if I had to guess, it's probably somewhere in the 150 range.
Okay.
I think really just I'm just having an upstairs is like that's a little different, because I mean, obviously we've been to Perrin. Mm-hmm. Perrin has a little seating area that's above the main area.
Yeah, Black Rocks.
Black Rocks.
But that's like super small. If you've ever been there, it's like. Very small.
I mean, someplace like the WAB, Woodward Avenue Brewing, they have those upstairs. But just not a lot of breweries where I hear, up on the second floor, we have. I was like, wait.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the building itself prior to Hop's opening was kind of a commercial building for different small businesses. The owner ultimately combined all the businesses and knocked down some walls and mm-hmm. made a pretty big space out of it. When you walk in the front door, you're kind of in the brewery when you walk in. It's not separate from the seating area, essentially. It drops down maybe 10 inches from the main floor, and there's maybe a 5-foot wall, but you're able to look right into the brewery. So you feel like you're actually in the brewery, which is cool. We're a 5-barrel brew house, so we're relatively small, but mm-hmm. it's nice. I feel like a lot of people really appreciate it, you know, just coming in and they'll watch me work, ask questions. And if I'm there, I'd love to talk to you. Come in and say what's up.
We'll be thinking about the premium here, guys.
A premium lager.
It's really crisp, crushable, easy to drink.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, it's not my style, so I'm not going to wax poetic, but it's something I would drink if someone gave it to me, for sure. Mm. It's just not the style that I just go out and buy. So right.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's like, I don't know what it is just about lagers, but the majority of lagers smell like soap to me.
No.
I think that's just me. Now, I mean, as far flavor-wise, it does not taste like it, because that would pretty much put me, you know, Bud Light.
Yeah,
all that stuff. I mean, it's clean. It's very clean, and
maybe that's why you think soap clean.
Yeah, yeah. I think Outcast, fresh and clean.
This one does, I mean, this is kind of more of our introductory beer.
I was going to say, is this kind of like the one that you got to get them into the door kind of thing?
Yeah, this is the what in here is like Bud or Bud Light.
Yeah,
this.
Most for most domestic drinkers, you can hear the comment.
Do you get a lot of those kinds of people at the brew house?
We do, yeah. I think it's been less lately, but for sure, like when I first started there, it was a lot of just like, because we're a neighborhood brewery, you know. Sure. We're not downtown proper. We're about 10 minutes outside of downtown. So, we're supported by the neighborhood, and we have a lot of those, you know, older drinkers that you want to come in and, you know, see what's going on and looking for something easy and drinkable. And, you know, this is kind of the direction that we point them in. Brahms Best, our Vienna lager, is kind of that way too. But it's, you know, obviously a red lager, so it's got a little bit more crystal sweetness to it. And,
yeah.
Caramel malt approach, but it's a bigger bodied beer as well. But yeah, premium is kind of our, you know, try this.
Yeah.
And this has also been kind of the beer of, you know, choice for our brewers around town. You know, we get a lot of guys from different breweries that come in and just love this beer, and they'll just come and
they get sick and tired of, you know, trying the stuff with the bourbon barrels, and they just want something just, you know, simple.
Yeah, you're going to have a couple of them, you know, talk shop. Yeah, we kind of, you know, become that place for a couple surrounding breweries just to come in and hang out.
Because I would think, you know, eventually when you're making so many of your own beers and drinking your own beers that you want to step out and see what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, actually, I guess the question to you is, like, it's like all these breweries are coming – They're coming to, you know, have some of yours. I mean, are there any breweries that you kind of partake in any area that you like to go to?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan of The Mitten. I'm a big fan of Harmony Brewing Company. Perrin's also a great stop. Cedar Springs, what they're doing with their Bavarian Ales. Yeah, a lot of great places for sure. But I also have a 3.5-year-old, so it's like when I'm not at work, I'm at home. So,
I mean, do you tend to stick towards kind of the traditional style beers at least to drink,
like on my free time?
Yeah,
I guess I like trying different. I mean, I drink everything. Your typical seasonal drinker. I know everybody says that, but like. You know, this time of year, I'm, you know, drinking brown ales, you know, but I always have time for a good lager for sure. Yeah.
So what season does seltzers fit in?
Yeah, I don't know.
Are you going to make a seltzer over there?
Yeah. I got one in the fermenter now.
Do you really? What kind? It's like what flavors?
We're going to be, we did a blank one, just like a unflavored one, and we'll be dosing them at the tap.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You seem so heartbroken.
it sounds like you're saying that in pain almost. No. It's like,
I mean, God, I haven't seen that much pain since Joe from Liberty Street saying he had to make a New England IPA.
Yeah.
Joe
made like 5 seltzers. Yes.
I think at some point, man, it's like, you know, you're in the business to make money.
Yeah.
Right.
You got to set aside some pride sometimes, and I'm cool with it, whatever.
But to set your pride to the side, it sounds like you want the seltzer business to, it's like, all right, we'll be in here, we'll make the money, but I want to see you die.
I mean, yeah, for sure. I'm not a seltzer guy. I don't drink seltzer. I get it for sure. But I'm also, you know, not a healthy guy either.
I think the big thing with seltzers is kind of like what you see with New England, or like it's going to get more people in the door that won't naturally come through the door.
Yeah. Right.
It's going to get people like, you know, having that, the lager, the pilsner that we just had. Was it a pils or was it a lager?
It was a pilsner.
Yeah. Okay. Having that pils that we just had, like, you need that beer for those people that are coming in, because you don't have the benefit of being in like Grand Rapids proper. You're kind of outside of it, where you're going to get a little bit more blue collar workers. Definitely. You're going to get a little more families in there, to the point where it's going to be a little bit. It's a necessity. Mm-hmm. That's kind of when Sellerman's first started. Like, they had their Thrasher. That was their go to
their gateway blue collar beer.
Their PBR clone, I think, is what they called it.
Mm-hmm. It fit them so well.
You need that kind of beer. Like, Zach over at Urban Rest doesn't need to make it. Like, he doesn't need to make a lager. He doesn't need to make a seltzer, you know. And right now, he's doing something that not a lot of brewers are doing, and that's focusing on kombucha a lot.
Yeah. Shout out to Urban Rest. I was actually there before the show, was enjoying the stouts, and they do make a hell of a kombucha. They've got, like, a strawberry kombucha on right now.
They've got a really couple good of them. And when we had Shannon on for the Griffin Claw episode, when we did all the Flying Buffaloes, like, we're going to start seeing a trend, I think, a lot of low, like extremely low ABV or, you know, non-ABV beers coming to market. Do you see that, too, where you're at, or is it a little different?
We haven't seen a lot of, I guess, breweries making it, but I feel like that's the direction, the trend where the beer industry is going. I think it'll, you know, just take a little bit of time, but
I think it's an overcorrection for all the high ABV strong ales, right, bourbon barrel aged beers that we had. That, right, a lot of people, I think they want to either pair those high ABVs with something that tastes like a beer that isn't a beer, you know, a near beer or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But like we need to pace ourselves a little more, because if you look at a lot of these beers just on the table right now, a lot of them are high ABV and. You know, it seems like beers themselves, like even the styles are just raising in ABVs, even though they shouldn't be. Like they, right, should be, you know, if you want to go true to style, like World Expo beer, it should be within a certain percentage.
Right, yeah. The BJCP guidelines exist for a reason.
I mean, they help you, they help guide you, but I think sooner or later, like nobody wants your standard. No, I was going to say nobody does, but, you know, for a while, nobody did. They don't want your standard beer. You name some of the top beers in the world, and none of them are a BJCP, except for maybe like the New England BJCP rating.
Right.
Which you guys have a New England that I think you brought, right?
Yeah, we did. It's called Lil Juice. It's our session NEIPA. It's featuring some New Zealand Motueka hops, some Citra and Mosaic. Hefty on the oats and unmalted wheat, as well as some Golden Naked oats. And Pilsner base, because I couldn't let that go.
I think you should totally crack it open, yeah, so we can.
I guess I shouldn't have brought beer tonight.
We can try it. It's always the mistake is that we bring
beer. I know. It's like.
I didn't know what to expect. I was like, well, I'll just bring them all.
I don't even know what to expect.
No one expects the Inquisition. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way it works.
Okay, Monty.
Within our show, you know, we've been doing this for well over 4 years now,
and
our show kind of changes a little bit each and every year. One of the things that we are going to mention is that we are going to be looking for a fourth new host.
Note, he said fourth.
Yes. So we did lose Matt Bush. He's still alive.
Yes.
Let's clear that up real quick.
Let's put that out there.
So Matt has decided to go do his own podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
Fucking traitor.
Better in models.
No. So Matt's going to concentrate on work. I know Michigan Beer Box, which is one of our sponsors, has taken a lot out of him. But you know, we understand that you got to make money, and when we're going out to festivals and stuff. Because of his kind of job being a realtor, you can't make money and go to festivals. So with that in mind, we are going to miss Matt, but we are going to be bringing in a new host. If you are interested, email us, betterondraft@gmail.com. Hope to bring in a fourth host, maybe bring a few people in to try out here soon.
We'll get him back in here to do a proper goodbye.
Oh, he'll definitely. He told us that, you know, back to when he first started. You know, when he was just kind of like a sub for when I was gone for a week, and then Nick was gone the next week, and then Dan was gone, and then Rob was gone, and he just kind of stuck.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did we ever officially make him? No, yeah, we did.
Put him in the intro.
But I think Nick will appreciate it, because there won't be any more jokes. Maybe he'll miss it.
Let's not get too far ahead of
All right. So.
You gotta do what you gotta do. You gotta make money. It's especially in the housing market. He has to do what he has to do. And I don't think there's a single person at this table that faults him for doing, you know, what he needs to do.
Nope. He's the one that brought five questions to us. Yep. He's the one that
Brulette. Oh, okay. We're gonna have to steal that from him.
March Draftness.
Yep, we're gonna have to steal that from him too.
A lot of I should dress up as Donkey Kong, so
We're gonna have to do
still fucking with you, Matt.
We're gonna have to steal some of those games.
I think we're gonna steal all of them.
Yeah,
anyways.
Yeah,
back
they're
to
ours,
the hops.
Matt.
Back to the hops. Back to Eric. So this is your what was it again?
It's
this is a New England session.
Yeah, it's session New England IPA. This guy is 4.9%. Made with Motueka, Citra, and Mosaic.
Are all New England IPAs made with Mosaic? Is that a thing?
I mean, no, not all of them. I mean, I'm doing more of them. I guess.
I'm always surprised there's so many that are not made with Simcoe.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy Simcoe, and it's like every time there's a New England, it's like, all right, I'm gonna hear Simcoe this time. It's like, oh,
well, it's just too easy. I think that hop is just too easy.
Is it?
Well, I think Mosaic is. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Simcoe's a great hop. I love it.
I've homebrewed a couple times, and I remember it's like the first time I was brewing an IPA with Simcoe, and I remember going to the store and getting the bags, and I'm sitting there opening these things up, and I'm like, oh my God, this shit smells fucking amazing.
Fresh orange.
It's like unbelievable. It was like, I want every beer to have this.
Yeah.
I feel like this one you can almost pass off on someone who's brand new, potentially.
I think so, too.
I think this could be one, if they want something a tad bit bitter, but not too crazy, like a regular.
A little bit of a tang to it?
A little bit. I think you could probably pass this off as something like a entry beer if you want, too. Because this is, you know, if you would have said this was a New England or didn't tell me that, I would have never have guessed that it was.
I mean, if you look at it, obviously.
If you look at it, but
right.
You know,
that is a dead giveaway.
Yeah, so here, I got two of them, and now they're definitely, you know, you can definitely tell the difference.
Damn good beer.
At 4.9%, are you trying to make a lot of easy, drinkable, low ABV beers, or is it just
kind of
back to back with
just,
low?
Yeah, two low ones. We spread the gamut. I mean, we have a barrel aged barley wine that's 12.5%.
I wasn't expecting your barrel aged barley wine to be a
fucking Christ. Why is that?
I mean, we do everything. Right? Yeah, we do everything. It's not necessarily just lower ones. We have our one of our mainstay NE IPAs that's 6.8%. So yeah, I mean, it's just our Doppelbox 8.3. It's just what I ended up bringing today.
Yeah, barley wines to me are alts to him. I love barley wines.
I should have brought one in for you. I don't know.
Those things are amazing.
Have you guys made an English mild yet or no?
We haven't done a mild. No ESBs. I think our ales.
What are you doing with your time?
Lagering.
At least he's honest, Kat.
Yeah. I think a lot of our ales tend to be more driven towards, you know, just popular styles. We do, you know, like a wheat beer, fruited gozes, kettle sours, things like that. You know, that I think we get asked a lot about. You know, as opposed to lagers. But yeah, I think those are some of the more styles that our drinkers kind of ask us for, so we just.
I feel like a lot of people going towards that lower ABV spectrum. I feel like they don't realize how low ABV English milds are.
Right.
Super
I've
low.
Seen them like at 3.5%.
Yep.
Or even some under that.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I think Ghetto Blaster is sub 4.
Very low fours.
That's the only English mild I know that's distroed, at least around here. Is there a distro from the west side that's English mild?
I couldn't tell. I'm not 100%. I don't think so, but there might be. I just don't know.
I don't think there's very many, truthfully.
Well, English mild.
It's not a sexy style.
No. Well, we saw that with, we mentioned it before when Saugatuck changed their ESB to Third Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, you know, I think the style English mild scared, the name
scares people
away.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they think it's going to be like a strong ale, like a Belgian strong.
But it's funny because, you know, when it was just the three of us, me, you, and Dan, whenever someone on the show came in to visit, brought it an English mild, we would go batshit crazy for it every time. So it's just like I'm surprised that the style hasn't like really caught, you know, the attention that we kind of give it, you know. But then again, we drink whatever the hell we.
Well,
we drink whatever's on the freaking table.
We're a victim of where we grew up and when we grew up, because we grew up, mind you, we grew up, and what were the beers that we drank growing up? We drank Final Absolution, and we drank Ghetto Blaster.
Yeah, I agree, because, like, you know, being the product of Wayne State, Motor City Brewing
right
Works.
Right down the street.
Right down the street. So Ghetto Blaster was one of the neighborhood beers and, next to PBR.
Not to be me, but I am me. Detroit Dwarf was right up there, too, with the like what we grew up with. And, sure. You know, same as DBC, Sanders Bumpy Cake.
Yeah. Another good beer.
That was a beer that, like, those. There are beers that we grew up with that were not, like, because the IPAs that we knew about was, you know, your Sierra Nevada.
Stone. I think Stone IPA was, like, one of the very, like, well, I know they make almost, but, like, the very first, like, Stone IPA was, like, the first true exposure for me.
For you, okay.
For me, yeah.
What, Eric, what was your first exposure to craft beer?
Craft beer? It was definitely from my old man.
Or crafty.
Actually, believe it or not, it was a lot of Michigan beer. We always had Bell's and Founders in the house. I mean, I grew up drinking a lot of Old Style when I wasn't around my dad.
Well, I mean, Chicago-based.
Yeah.
And
there's going to be Old Style at the Grand Rapids Beer, Wine, and Food Festival I'm going to tomorrow. Yeah. I am excited. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I definitely am the kind of person where I always do my best to try to drink the beer of the city. Mm-hmm. So if I'm in the Maryland, Baltimore area, Natty Bo. If I'm in, you know, Chicago Old Style. Mm-hmm. If I'm over in Seattle, Rainier. So I do my best to try, but like Old Style definitely has a place in my heart for, like when I want to go out and I want to drink and I want to not break the bank. Like Old Style is my go-to can of choice. Kind of like what Miller Lite is for me here. Like if I could find a decent Miller Lite price, I'm going to get it. I mean, I got to ask, because you definitely have a face that you could either be 40 or 20. So I do have to ask how old you are.
29.
Okay. I mean, cut it right down the middle.
Right there.
So you grew up in Chicago. Like Chicago right now, do you drink out there? Do you go drinking at all? Have you been out there? Because they're, from what I've been told and what I saw at like GABF and everything, their New England IPA scene is huge over there.
Yeah, yeah. Old Irving Brewing Company took home a gold. Shout out to Trevor. He's killing it out there. Beezer is a fantastic beer. There's a lot of breweries that are heavy on the New England IPAs. But yeah, he's killing it. Last year, two of the top three beers were from Chicago. I believe it was Alarmist Brewing Company and Aris Brewing Company. It was a first and third place, I believe. And then they took home another gold this year. So, yeah. I don't know. They're on point with it. There's a lot of breweries out there that focus on that, though, for sure.
It almost feels like with those styles that those metals should be going to the breweries that are in the area. So for them to, start seeing that, everybody else around here can make it just as well as they can and better, mm-hmm. is definitely it doesn't seem like it's regional anymore.
Yeah.
So that's I definitely would love to get out there and try some of those. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Do you have a favorite like area of Chicago to go brewery hopping, or because I always talk about going to Malt Row?
Yeah, Malt Row is cool. You got Goose Island right there. You got Finch.
Wait, was there a Goose Island up in Malt Row?
Now there is. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like,
they closed the Wrigleyville location and opened up there. So it's way cooler.
Wrigleyville. I remember a waitress gave me a kitty cup. To leave.
What?
Not, they weren't kicking me out. I'm like, I'm trying to chug it, and she's like, just don't. And mind you, I can chug, but she's just like, just don't here. Yeah. And she grabs me a sippy cup, and
that's Wrigley boy.
And my put it in there.
Goodness.
That was the first time I ever I went to a bowling tournament the night before, and we went to hang out in Wrigleyville.
Was that
the Peterson?
Peterson, yeah.
And I got out drank by our designated driver.
Damn.
And it wasn't for the fact that I wasn't trying, or it was like a a low ball game. Like he just has decades of experience over me, and he showed it. Because I always razzed him because he was never a craft beer drinker. He is now. Yeah. I ran into him at like a Zubru, and I'm like, what are you doing here? And now he goes to 8 degrees all the time. Nice. They go to like Kick It Tuesdays, I think is what it's called.
Can yeah, kick the keg.
Yeah, so they try to kick kegs every Tuesday there.
Kick.
Shout out to Zach and Christian for kicking a keg.
Do you guys distro any beer right now?
Yeah, we do. We probably do about, I don't know, not a lot. Like I said, we're 5 barrels, so probably about 3 to 4 barrels a month. We're at, right now, Lucky Monks has 5 of our beers on tap, all lagers.
I was going to say, that sounds like a takeover almost, unless you're going to tell me there's like 90 beers there.
Yeah, they got like probably like 30.
I mean, that's
5 out of 30 is not bad.
Yeah, that's a good chunk.
1/6 of you. I mean, that's usually what a
pretty
bud
solid.
A bud rep wants is at least that many.
Right.
Well, it was just pretty cool. I mean, we were there. We've been at Hopcat, Nap Corner. We've been at Gravity, Beer Cellar, Grand Rapids. Wherever we can find accounts, we'll do our best to make sure it happens.
So back in February, we're going to take you back to February, we actually had you guys on the list of 20 beers to try at the Winter Beer Festival, and that was the Rose Brute IPA.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still in your rotation of beers you make, or
it's,
have you
it's
cycled
coming
it
back
out?
For Valentine's Day when we do our two-year anniversary.
We'll
be doing cool like rosé bottles because it's a Brute IPA.
There was no accent on the E, so I don't know if it was rose or rose.
Rose.
Yeah, I love that beer. I really do.
I mean, I thought it was right when he said Valentine's Day, so I'm like, oh, rose.
Rose.
I'm right.
Yeah, makes sense.
No.
Yeah, it's a Brute IPA. It's fermented on red grape skins that we get from a winery locally. And then it ferments on those, picks up some color. It's highly effervescent, crystal clear. It looks like a rosé. As it should. It's low bitterness, but bone dry. So we're putting it into like Magnum bottles for Valentine's Day.
Nice.
Wow.
Designing a whole label for it. Should be cool.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah, but that's that was probably the last time we've had it. But we get asked constantly about it. So I think we are going to bring it back.
Is that a due to time, like in constraints with your fermenters?
No,
or?
I mean, we try to. I know February is not very seasonal, but I think we were kind of aiming for either summer, if not Valentine's Day. And we didn't do it for summer, so Valentine's Day.
Are you going to hopefully bring it back to the Winter Beer Fest again? I mean, it's not going to get you on my list again.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't make it for me.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it depends. We'll see how much we have after bottling, and I think we definitely want to keep some on tap because we go through it at a pretty decent clip. But.
So you're newer into the Michigan beer scene, and before we take a break, I want to ask you a question because I've heard so many different answers from so many different brewers in regards to the change of the beer festivals. So now all beer festivals, so the winter and fall are one days, mm-hmm. and they've added the spring one. What is your opinion on falling back to one-day beer festivals on Saturdays as opposed to multi-days?
I mean, I'm used to one-day festivals coming from Chicago. We don't really do multi-day festivals. I think the biggest thing I was worrying about when a beer festival, if my kegs are going to freeze over or not.
That's
a real concern for a lot of people.
This past one wasn't too bad.
It wasn't too bad, but it was new to me.
There was the year that this, mind you, was probably 6 or 7 years ago, and still one of my – I felt so bad for the person, but this was when Greenbush was bringing like 20 taps to the festival.
Goodness.
And one person every 5 minutes was running every single line so they didn't freeze over. But that day, I know at least 10 breweries had to close because their lines froze.
Yeah.
And what I feel like at a lot of these festivals, there's so many great breweries out there, but people kind of congregate to specific areas or specific parts of the festival. And I think that's something that needs to be not necessarily addressed because it's a cultural issue. People need to, look, because if you look at Say, for instance, Ordok at the – were you at the Fall Festival this year?
I was not, no.
Okay. Ordok had a huge line for their beer, and the brewery right next door, I couldn't tell you who they were, had zero line. And yeah. I'm like, you know, I understand people want to try Ordok, and I understand, like, you know, they had a lot of – they had good seltzers there, they had good beer there, and nothing against Ordok. But again, there's this brewery right next door, and now there's this giant line in my way, and I have to – like, I wound up going to the brewery next door, getting a beer, and then going in line at Ordok because I'm like, I'm not going to wait in line without a beer.
Sure.
So go from beer. So you think, well, you're coming from Chicago. Illinois doesn't have token festivals. Those are all you can drink, correct?
Correct, yeah.
So what's that change for you?
I mean, you see a lot of, I guess, like hype breweries. Not that Ordok is, I don't know if you would consider them a hype brewery, but you get a lot of
those
types.
Saw the line. That was pretty hype for this right. Fall beer festival. They usually had a queue of about 15 to 20 at any time.
Yeah, so it's like that at every one day event. Festival in Chicago for certain like a handful of breweries, and I guess it makes it hard. I actually really do like the ticketing system. I think that's great. Maybe a lot of brewers might disagree, but I think it as brewers we have a responsibility to make sure people are drinking responsibly.
Michigan Brewers Guild's more semantics than anything for legalities because it's 50 cents for each one after, okay, and
yeah.
That's.
I mean, yeah, I guess if you want to keep drinking, it's only a couple bucks. Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
you could double your drink tokens for $7.50.
Yeah, sweet.
So, I've done that before, that's for sure.
Nah.
We're going to take a quick break. As always, our breaks are sponsored by the Ferndale Set. This is Brother Son. We'll be right back. Better on Draft Podcast.
I'm headed for the city, trouble in my mind. I'm way too young and pretty for things to be unkind. Time is all we have now. So let's make something while we can. I'm headed for the city to make me start again. Conversation no ended. Gotta go, gotta get it. No one did. Gotta go, gotta get it.
And we are back, episode 202, Better on Draft Podcast. Shut the door. I don't know why. There's nobody else in the studio.
Yeah,
we've been doing this for 4 years. Shows come, shows go. We are the standard.
Yep. Still here.
Still here.
Still standing. I'm still
strong. You know who's not going to be at their site soon? That's North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan.
Aww.
They're moving downtown, I believe. They're getting a bigger spot, which is nice, well-deserved. Shout out to Kevin, obviously Cody doing great stuff over there. I don't know how they're going to move that shuffleboard, but I did look at how much a shuffleboard costs.
How much?
Like a shuffleboard table. It is ridiculously expensive for the full-size shuffleboard, I should say.
Are we talking over 1,000?
Yeah.
2,000?
I'm bringing it up right now because I want to get the correct price. So we'll go with this one.
it's a random one.
No.
I'm
gonna go with Pottery Barn. That's a big company.
Pottery Barn sells those things.
Pottery Barn sells them.
Hey, they're publicly traded.
What's that supposed to mean?
That means you can get stock in it, motherfucker.
Diversify your bonds. Diversify your portfolio.
So a lot of these boards, there's one. The Pottery Barn one goes for $7,000.
Wow.
Games tables for less goes for $3,000.
That's a lot less. That's basically my bonus check. If I get a bonus this coming year.
A 9-foot one, so a short one,
uh-huh,
goes for $700 on Amazon.
What's regulation length?
22 feet.
Ooh. It's like the length of a bar, basically.
I believe.
Yeah, that's
it's
crazy.
22 yeah. feet. It's around that, 22, 25.
I might do the 9-foot one, maybe, for like the man cave, maybe.
I was definitely looking at it for my new house.
For the new house. You're going to have to save your pennies for a little while.
Yeah, save a lot of pennies. A
couple hundred dollars every paycheck.
If you go to the website shuffleboard.net, which is just it looks like a website that brings a bunch of shuffleboard prices together, you're looking at for a full size $6,000 and up.
My gosh.
A lot of these, depending on probably the wood and the build, a lot of these are five figures, $10,000, $1,300.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So if you guys ever want to replace your pool tables up at DeHops,
yeah,
go with shuffleboard for sure. Pool table, well, you guys don't charge for your pool table. How do people respect the felt over there?
Actually, yeah, they're great.
They're good?
Yeah,
okay.
Been good. We get a lot of really locally established players. We get a guy that comes in here. I don't remember his name, but he's like number 5 ranked in like Grand Rapids.
Okay,
and he just slays. And he drinks lagers for hours and just owns a table.
Wow.
But yeah, he's really good. But we get a lot of really good players, and I think we're far enough from GVSU. I guess we don't get a lot of like crazy drunk college kids.
Well, they're all going to Uchellos anyways.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, let's be real, right? They're going to Uchellos, it's true. And then we're far enough from downtown where we don't get, like, a crazy, you know, big crazy crowd. I mean, we're a neighborhood pub. Everyone's pretty respectful with our stuff, which is great. It makes it easier on us, too.
Yeah, I've played on a lot of really bad tables and...
Snookers.
No, they
weren't that bad.
Snookers wasn't bad.
What about, you remember
the walls were bad, yeah, at Snookers, but that's because a lot of people just like, it's just use and abuse.
They weren't regulation tables, but you remember the butterfly?
Oh yeah, the butterfly.
Yeah. You pay by the game with the quarters and all that.
Yeah, that was, you could get emphysema just walking into that.
Yeah.
Building, that's for sure.
You can get the clap by playing DDR.
For those younger folks, the Butterfly was an arcade that was on Van Dyke between 14 and 13, just north of Pampa Lanes, which I heard just burned down.
I drive by it on my daily commute to 696 to get to work. The front part is, like, the side closest to Van Dyke is still standing. So I'm thinking it was like the side that's furthest away from Van Dyke. But yeah, they're claiming arson right now.
Yeah,
and apparently there was apparent, and I'm not surprised there were squatters in the building. So
that's a huge building.
Yeah,
so
it's massive,
especially for the weather that's going on right now. That doesn't surprise me at
all. I had my spare ball drilled there. That was the last time I was there.
Jesus. Let's open up another beer. Day hops.
Yeah, actually, before we do that, just real quick, we did open up a this year's version of Massacre.
That did get passed away from me. So.
Yes, the barrel-aged lager from Wolverine. Another.
Does it massacre, guys?
It slays.
Pretty good. It slays?
It slays.
Okay.
I mean, from Wolverine, who definitely makes a lot of lagers themselves. And one time that I actually got a chance to host trivia in there, I went in there and I said, at that point, I was like, I was not a fan of lagers. Mm. And this shit is amazing.
Yeah, they do a great job, for sure. They're all, 100% lagering, right?
They're a full lager house.
Yeah. Yep.
That's awesome. That's super cool.
There's actually apparently a lager house that's opening up in Eastern Market here really soon. That's right. Going to be
lager house number 5.
Yeah, yeah.
Right down the street from
me. From what I thought at the herd, I think that's Scott King's new joint.
Oh, okay.
So that'll be interesting because I don't think he's been brewing since Milking It went under and got bought by Axel RIP.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Ferndale Project.
Yep, coming through.
So drink that, we can definitely at least crack open and start.
So I have a coffee nut brown ale. I also have a Austrian red lager as well as a rock beer, which is a smoked lager.
Wow, so we just waited for all the good beers.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, jeez.
I vote for the coffee nut brown.
I'm going for the smoked lager.
Oh.
Let's stick in the lager area and do the coffee. I think that coffee nut brown's going to be the last one.
Yeah, it'll taste better.
I feel like that's going to also not destroy our palate, but change our palate a little too
much. Sense. I gotcha.
As much as we're mixing
as
and matching.
As smoked lager would, probably.
And I'm still trying to drink this blueberry blonde.
Well, you're the one that poured the...
I'm not going to disrespect Dildo Brewing by not opening the beer that I got from my coworker.
You're not going to disrespect the dildo, right?
I'm going to respect the dildo.
You're not going to respect the dildo? Disrespect.
I'm not even going to touch that collection.
Talk to us about this beer real quick.
Yeah, rock beer, 5.9%. 30% of the grist bill is made with Beechwood smoked malt. Mm. It's going to be a nice, malty, smoky bomb. Notes of hickory on the nose. Real deep kind of reddish hue to it. It's currently our beer of the month. We just found out yesterday it won a gold at the Greater National Beer Cider and Mead competition in Bridgeport, Connecticut, which is pretty cool because of all the beers we entered. I wasn't sure how I felt about this one, but
how do you go about deciding which festivals you want to enter versus not?
We do the big guys, right? So we do GABF. We're doing World Beer Cup in April in San Antonio. We try to do everything locally. Then we just pick and choose. We see what's out there. I mean, awards are great, but mostly what I'm looking for is just feedback on these beers. I want to if I can make something better. And I want to make something better. If it's a process thing, then I'd like to change it and improve it. But
so my biggest advice to you is don't listen to anything I say.
Great.
I was talking to the brewer, one of the brewers over at Rubens, and he wasn't in, but I could tell I triggered a certain phrase or something like that, just shooting the shit with him. Mm-hmm. And he just went off on me, but went off in general about I fucking hate when people tell me what to do, tell me, oh, what kind of, hops are in this beer? Or do you have a beer with this kind of hops? And I'm I could just tell he was definitely just needed to vent that of his.
He heard it maybe one too many times.
Yeah,
he doesn't have enough IBUs.
Yeah,
I'm giving you 2 stars at Untappd. Yeah. It's not my style.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you gotten any bad Untappd reviews?
Man, I try not to read those.
Well, that's good. I mean, you did mention that you deleted Facebook, so obviously, you understand how to get rid of toxicity. And
right. Yeah, just trying to spend time with family, focus on work. Do stuff like that. The more important things.
Well, speaking of important things,
here is Robert with the beer news.
What is this madness that I'm hearing?
You pass me the rocker.
Oh, yeah.
It is time for the news.
With.
Wow, that was kind of rough.
With Robert.
But smooth.
With Robert Everett.
Don't try that shit, Nick.
Wait, so what just happened? What was that?
I was getting ready for like a segment. I was like, oh, shit, what did Trump do?
All right, so we're
segment two is always beer news with Rob. So we'll just kind of go over some big headlines. I don't know if you guys heard, but there's a lot of stuff that happened in the beer industry.
Yeah,
right?
So we're gonna go through some of the news as sponsored by Zatuna Liquor, which you know you can go to Zatuna, which is on Rochester Road, just south of M59.
Just so everyone knows, the $50 gift cards did go out.
Okay,
it was a Monday and a snowstorm. And I
no mail was getting delivered that day.
I looked outside and I messaged because there's the guy that won at the Jimmy John's Festival and then the guy that won on our 200th episode, and I literally said, nope, ain't going outside today. I will go outside tomorrow.
Nope, that's not happening. Yeah. All right, so yeah, so it was definitely some big stuff that was happening, especially with this week, because this week has been a little crazy with the brewery acquisitions. So pretty much the big news of this week was coming out of Colorado as New Belgium Brewing has sold themselves to Australia-based Lion Little World Beverages, which is owned by Japan's Kirin Holdings Company. The term of the sales were not released, but the all-cash deal, love that, wow, is expected to close by the end of the year. And New Belgium's founder, Kim Jordan, said the deal means cash for the employees because they are, you know, employee-owned. So she was quoted saying more than 300 employees are receiving over $100,000 of retirement money, with some receiving significantly greater amounts. And over the life of our ESOP, including this transaction, a total amount paid to current and former employees will be nearly $190 million.
Jesus.
We will have helped a significant number of people realize the upside of having equity in something, being a part of the American dream. Now, New Belgium, currently they rank as, according to the article, that they rank as the fourth largest craft brewery in the U.S. by sales volume and the 11th largest U.S. brewer overall. And that's according to the Brewers Association. It's at least the third largest craft brewer that has agreed to sell in the last few months, with obviously Boston Beer snapping up Dogfish Head and Anheuser-Busch finally, you know, getting off the pot and going after the Craft Beer Alliance, which I still need to look into that because they had already paid like the $20 million to back out, and then they went back in. So they seem to have definitely paid a lot. But one of the things that I was looking at with the articles is that what New Belgium was saying, in that they were surveying the landscape over the last several years and found that options to raise capital while being an independent brewer weren't realistic for them. And some of the most widely used options by craft brewers were going to compromise a lot about what makes New Belgium great. Environmental sustainability and a rich internal culture. Now, it seems like with the bigger breweries that they're looking at the landscape and they're seeing that there are way more breweries that are in the footprint of the U.S. than there were 10, 20, and in their case, 30 years ago, that this may seem like it's the point where it's time to say, okay, there's too many breweries in this game. We need to step out. We need to hand this off and just say, hey, we did what we needed to do. Good luck to y'all. I mean, obviously, there are some people who have kind of taken to Twitter and the likes to basically say that they kind of feel betrayed, that you have this owner or this employee-owned brewery that decided to sell, which to me, I kind of feel like if you're employee owned, then you have these employees that are making that decision to sell themselves. Sell the brewery.
I am coming on the show. I called this a year ago. Everyone told me no, because it's employee owned. And what do I say to everyone? Ha ha.
Everybody has a price.
Thank you. Everybody's got a price.
Everybody's got a price.
This would, if you come with enough money to any brewery, they're going to sell. I don't care who you are. You could tell me till you're blue in the face. Yeah. You know, whether you're Larry Bell, whether you're, you know, Yingling, I don't care who you are. Everyone has a price. You just haven't met that price yet. And that's all that it is.
So
now, before you go, because I want people to know about Kieran, because Kieran actually has a huge portfolio that I don't think you're aware of. And that is Four Roses Distillery.
People love having their craft beer barreled in Four Roses barrels, for damn sure.
Sam Miguel. So Kieran, Sam Miguel.
So founders. Sam of Grand Rapids?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
They own 24.5% of Brooklyn Brewery.
Okay.
Okay.
They also own a portion of Coca-Cola in the U.S.
Wow.
So it's like
our cable networks.
So
Kieran is a huge company, and I think a lot of people are just kind of like, oh, you know, it's not AB InBev. And I'm like, it's just right there.
And I think that's probably the thing is, like, if it was AB, I mean, it'd be a complete and utter shitstorm.
So here's
like this double standard in a way.
Here's the positive that you're going to see. You're going to see a lot of people. You're going to lose some jobs due to redundancy. Mm-hmm. The sales force is going to get cut because obviously there's the San Miguel's sales force, Brooklyn Brewery probably, Four Roses Distillery might have combination sales force of their alcohol as well as their beer. So there's going to be some salespeople who leave. With that, this is their largest brewery in the U.S., so their U.S. headquarters. Most likely there might be HR jobs, there might be management jobs, distro jobs. So it's good for everyone. And those people who are getting that buyout is most likely not going to lose their job.
Right.
Like
they
ain't closing New Belgium.
No.
They ain't closing New Belgium, Asheville. They ain't moving beer from one brewery to another.
Ben and Jerry still.
Yeah, they don't own any breweries that are big enough in the United States to house, obviously, the 11th largest brewery in the United States. So it's not like, because that's the thing is that they're not buying a brewery to move their beer to that facility.
Right.
So really quickly, I found some dollar amounts that might be speculation, but it's probably adds more to the conversation as to what they could potentially be spending on this deal.
Mm-hmm.
So Reuters reported back in 2015 that New Belgium was looking for a potential sale back then, valuating at around $1 billion at the time.
Jeez. That's so, right after Ballast Point got bought,
and they talk about Constellation buying them out. Forbes is reporting that Lion is spending somewhere between $350-400 million, but they didn't, you know, identify who's coming from that. What's also interesting is that the CEO of Kieran said earlier this year that they had about almost $3 billion worth in a budget set aside for mergers and acquisitions.
For
the next couple of years.
This is how they don't pay taxes on that money this year.
Yeah, so
we have seen it every single year that we have done this show is at the end of the year, the last quarter, buyouts finalized.
Time to spend that money.
You know, it's not like people are buying, you know, oh, I call up New Belgium and I give them a price and they say yes. These things take a long time.
Right.
But their goal is to basically, you know, 6-8 months – figure out, announce, and spend that money so that you don't have to pay the taxes on that.
I mean, you're seeing that right now in the autos. Who's acquiring Peugeot right now? Chrysler, I think.
FCA.
FCA is trying to get Peugeot, French automotive maker. Or they're trying to at least merge, at least. So I'm not sure if it's an acquire, but
Chrysler, Peugeot, DeLorean, any others?
I don't know. Yugo. I don't fucking know.
Isn't that a card game?
Hugo.
Peugeot.
Thank you. God damn it.
Reno.
Now, Eric, I want your honest opinion. Be honest. Sure. Be truthful. You don't have to tell us a number, but do you have a price?
For what? I got nothing to offer. What?
Well, I mean, I know you're the brewer, but let's say you have skin in the game. You have skin in the game at the hops. Like, do you have a price to sell it? Somebody comes in and offers you a big wad of money.
I don't have skin in the game. I'm just an employee.
I'm just saying if you did.
If I did have skin
in the game. If you had your own brewery, you had the The Plata Porterhouse.
yeah, I mean,
sounds,
I guess
sounds
everybody
more like a steakhouse.
Yeah,
than
it does.
Yeah, the Porterhouse.
Ponderosa.
Plata's Ponderosa.
No.
Fancy.
No.
No, I guess you're right. Everybody does have a prize. Just haven't met it yet. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure I do. I just don't know what it is. I don't know a number, but somebody walked in right now and said, I'll give you $3 million. You're like, okay.
Is that a has it ever
for Plata's been Porterhouse?
For the naming rights.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about maybe owning your own? Since we're kind of talking about, you know, if you had a slice of the pie at the hops, is that something you thought about before? Or
I mean, you're 29. You have plenty of time to come back from a bankruptcy.
Yeah, right. Or do you enjoy being the guy
I mean,
that
always
brews?
It's always been the dream. I'd love to open a brewery. Mm. As for right now, I'm happy doing what I'm doing.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Hey, no, I mean, you got to love what you got to do.
More breweries,
right? That's what the United States need.
Go to pick another state that doesn't have enough.
Yeah, man, maybe the Philippines.
So Philippines, hey.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have what's over by Trail Points over by you.
That's it. I mean, as far as Allendale, but yeah. I mean, you go towards the city, and they're all over there. We're the closest thing
because you got to head down towards like Walker too, or.
Well, we're in Walker. We're technically
you're in Walker. Yeah. I thought you were in Standale for some reason.
Standale, Walker area. That line is kind of blurred.
Okay.
It's old Standale.
I just know that Uccello's is in Standale for reasons.
Yeah. Sorry, I had to read that.
For good reasons. Lord.
Let's go over another news article.
All right. I guess speaking of opening up your own brewery, there was an article that I ran into in Maxim, which. Yeah, I know exactly. The fact that I bring up Maxim as its own, the fact that
man,
there was actually a...
Are we digging deep?
He reads Maxim for the articles, guys.
Was it the one with Tila Tequila by any chance?
I don't know who the hell was in it. I just Google beer news.
I haven't heard her name
article.
In so long, and I'm so upset that I've heard it today.
Oh, my God. So DC Reeves, the author of the Microbrewery Handbook, summarized some points in this article, focusing on the five key tips to opening a successful taproom-focused microbrewery are. So I guess we can just kind of go through these one point by point and just agree, disagree, and just kind of talk about it. So point one, have money to make money. And he notes that in a capital-intense market, you are marrying two businesses, one being a manufacturer, the other being a retailer. I got to feel like there's actually three, because if you self-distribute, then you're a distributor too, I guess to an extent. But he notes that the biggest mistake that breweries make is undercapitalizing and buying smaller equipment that doesn't keep up with demand. And, you know, obviously when you get to that point where all of a sudden you have to start making bigger demand and you don't have the capital to buy bigger equipment, it kind of, I don't know, I guess I kind of feel you run into a situation there. Well, hold on, because there was one other pro tip, which... I think is a little relevant to some of the brewery closings that we've had, is that one of the pro tips he says is to buy the building or have a lease to buy option so the landlord does not see their leverage on you and your business and how much it costs to move.
That one I think makes probably the most sense.
Are we referencing Black Lotus? Are we referencing Sellermans? Are we referencing...
The moment I read that, I immediately thought of Sellermans.
Copper
just like,
Hop?
Damn it. Just...
So let's talk about the underutilizing.
Big buck?
Big, yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about the undercapitalization, the underfunding. You're saying that to go bigger up front.
I mean, my thing is, I think that's tough to do.
I think it is tough to do because, A, you don't know if your product is going to, you know, capture the hearts and minds of the people that you're trying to sell to
right.
in your area. Like, you know, and Eric, you've been in the game for a little while now, and or, you know, as a brewer for at least, but you've been in the game for long enough to know that you got to have at least one or two, maybe three good beers to really, you know,
he says
to really get it going.
Make styles that are marketable or desirable and new to market. Maybe build a cocktail program. You guys don't have alcohol there, do you?
We do not serve alcohol.
Do you do beer tails there?
We are planning on doing it when we open for brunch.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. That is
right. Bloody
that
Marys,
is,
seltzer cocktails.
All right.
Yeah, that is part of point two of understanding the market. And he had said that when he opened his brewery in Pensacola, Florida. It's called Perfect Plain Brewing. Opened it in 2017. There were two other breweries that were in the area, and now it's doubled, and now it is up to six. So now he kind of is in a position where he's got to make things that is going to be good for his business and getting people in there. It's like, is it making that cocktail program? Is it making, you know, those desirable beers that other people are not making?
It's the seltzers. That's one. It's the New Englands. It's the because people, the seltzers, you're going to attract the people that, you know, that are health conscious. You're going to get the New Englands. You're going to get those juicy hopheads that, you know, that gravitate towards those. You get the bourbon barrel ones. You're going to get the guys that are all about the booze.
For sure. And I think what isn't being touched upon, a lot of people don't really grasp their minds around is marketing is such a massive part of opening a brewery. If you don't have any type of online presence or boots to the ground, if nobody's talking about you, nobody's going to come in. Gone are the days of...
You need those influencers.
Yeah, well, you need the influencers, sure. but, I mean, you know, word of mouth goes only so far. Social media it's the new word of mouth. I mean, it for better or worse, a lot of people... don't like that. I'm definitely one of those people. I'm kind of an old school. I'd rather take someone's opinion on something and take their word on it and go have a beer with them somewhere else and try something new. But I mean, you see Yelp reviews, you see Untappd, you see all this other stuff. You know, that goes a long way, especially with like the craft beer community. I feel like so many people just, you know, sit down, open Untappd as soon as you bring out a beer.
Yeah.
It's like, no, dude, let's like drink it and talk about it and. What do you think about it?
Before? Right.
That's one thing I've learned from being an Untappd, like untap everything, check in everything and drink everything. It's talking to the bartender because I think there is so much information you can get from the bartender. And I'm going to be honest and I'm just going to, you know, wherever I go, if I'm talking to a bartender and I'm talking styles and I'll be like, they're going to give you, first of all, they're going to give you a lot of samples. Because you're talking and they're listening and they're trying to get you to the right beer. So you order the beer that you want. Like I had when I went to Obex and I had a Czech Red. I've never had this kind of style of beer before. And she gave me a sample first to try. She's like, hey, let's try it. Because they poured it in a 23. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm glad we didn't make this mistake. Yeah. I had it, bought it. I didn't think it was a 23 until they just gave it to me. And I'm like, oh, okay. Mind you, it was a low ABV. The problem is that I wanted a low ABV pint or a snifter, not a 23. So it counteracts what I wanted to do. But honestly, just if you live in the moment and you talk, like not only are you going to most likely run into the brewer who is, you know, changing a keg, running a line, you know, serving, bussing, doing whatever they need to do to help. You get to learn a lot, and there are a lot of benefits of living within that moment as opposed to living on your phone in Untappd world or Beer Advocate world.
Definitely.
Sure.
Like, I for one, make sure that I note the beers that I like in my head, and I write them down later. Mm-hmm. I open it up, notepad, put in the beer name, and that's it.
Right.
Just because I want to do that beer again. Because, yes, we talked about it, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. Like, beer fatigue is real.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's gotten to the point where, you know, if you're going to bring me a beer, sure, I'm going to try it. But if I am going to go buy a beer from somewhere, I'm probably going to stick to what I know or what I like.
For sure.
Like, what's your style, your go-to style when you're going to your Hopcat? You know, you go up there, there's 90 beers on tap.
Yeah.
Where are you looking on the menu?
The
PBR.
No, usually lagers, like, you know, we were talking about, I guess, but
but there usually isn't that many lagers on those.
I know,
menus.
It's a shame.
You're talking like, you know, there's more lagers than there are probably browns or ambers.
Yeah, for sure.
But you know, the amount of lagers, and they're going to be your standard. There's,
and I think when
Larry's
I go,
Light or whatever
if
bells.
If I go into a place like a Hopcat, you know, I'll look at the menu. Predominantly lagers, because I and it has to, if I order a lager, it has to be local. I just want to see what other people are doing.
Of course.
Especially just being a brewery in West Michigan. Like, if there's a brewery that has a lager that they feel confidently enough distributing, then there must be something that they're super proud of.
See, well, while I would trust Hopcat, I would want to have that lager at the brewery and not at a bar, because I don't know how much I trust that bar to, especially, no offense to Hopcat, but you're not turning those kegs as fast as you should be.
Right.
You trust that, you know, a brewery that is going to have their beer on that, you know, their lines are clean.
Which is
that,
part
well,
of the reason.
Well, Hopcat will have their lines clean. I'm not, which that is, doesn't worry me.
Which is part of the reason why I'd feel inclined to go towards lager as opposed to, like, IPA or a New England IPA, especially if it's been sitting around a while. There's definitely, you know, age in hops and beers, and I mean, you can taste it almost immediately. But lagers, I mean, shelf life's not as crazy as an IPA.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, and especially, I mean, local.
I just think, like, for me, because I know a lot of brewers, and even myself, like, I'm starting to do a little bit more where I'm trying the lager first, is to see, like, where this brewer is and their ability.
Right.
And, like, if you have the, to be honest, if you have the balls to put out a lager, because a lot of it is, you know, timing, as you've mentioned, but yeah, you can brew on a, you know, 4 or 5 barrel, 4 fermenter system, plan everything, still have taps on, and not run into any issues. Right. You know, it feels to me like if you don't have time, it's almost an excuse now.
Right, yeah.
Like, I feel like you can, unless you're like a 1 barrel, like I think Downey's a 1 barrel or Jamex is a 1 barrel.
1 barrel, that's rough, man. That's rough.
But that's all they do is that they brew in to the point where they have to just continuously brew new styles, new beers. They're never going to have consistency or consistently bringing the same beers out because you just got to turn.
Yeah.
Like that I can understand.
Do they have a tap room?
Both of them do,
yeah,
yes.
They do.
On a 1 barrel system?
Yes.
How many taps do they maintain?
Eight.
Eight? Wow.
8 to 10?
Wow.
So, I would say, I feel like Downey has like 10 to 12.
Downey has 10 to 12, yeah.
They're cranking out beers on at a decent
quality. Well, Downey has the benefit that 3 of them can brew and brew well because it's a family-owned brewery.
Okay.
We actually had them on before they opened. We've had them on a few times after. But the father, the 2 sons can brew. The mom is definitely the waitress, bartender, cheerleader.
That's awesome. That's great.
Social media, you know, partier, that's for sure. The one, she's what I feel like she's the brewery mom. Like, she takes care of everyone over there and makes sure everyone's doing their best. But yeah, when you have that kind of thing, Jamex is just Kat and I can't think of her husband's name. So, you know, they're
shame.
Yeah, I know. You know, they're just turning out a lot of beer and able to do it fairly fast and, again, keep it open as their livelihood. So I can see it for them that, like, they have the excuse, but there are some places where they just, I don't know. I feel like you need to be able to make that. I feel like the lager is necessary now, especially as we're going towards those crushable beers. The Kolsch, the Pilsner, and the lager is definitely going to be the beer of 2020, as seltzers are still going to be there.
Well,
sorry.
We're definitely hoping. No, it's not. It's not as
not going.
Yeah, and that's fine as long as lagers are going somewhere.
Well, when we talk lager, obviously we talk traditional, you know, yellow lager.
Exactly, and it's not
a, you know, using lager yeast. Right. Or,
and lagers can be fun too. We've definitely played with some. You know, we do lager. We do true lagering stuff. But we've done, like, dry hop lagers. We've done harvest lagers that use proprietary hops out in Great Lakes hops. And we do fun stuff as well just to show that lagers can be fun. You know what I mean? We definitely maintain and focus a lot on traditional styles. But, you know, we do unfiltered lagers. We did a collab with Perrin that was a unfiltered
no
Mexican
rules
lager. Yeah, exactly. A Vietnamese porter lager. Vietnamese lager porter.
Lord.
Yeah, but we did an unfiltered Mexican lager with lime peels in it.
And okay.
It went over really well. But yeah, I mean, we focus on traditionals, but we also have fun with them too. Just to kind of, you know, show people that lagers can be cool.
Yeah. All right, so I want to hammer out the last 3 of this this Pensacola plane.
Name's Jeff, by the way. Sorry, Jeff.
Oh, Jeff over at Jamex.
Yeah.
So this guy, the brewery itself is in Pensacola. It might not be sized. I think the city itself is bigger, but it has a population roughly the same as Royal Oak.
Okay.
So
size of Royal Oak with 6 breweries, at least in that area, at least what, I mean, from what he's saying is in that area. So I don't know if there's any other breweries that are in the out.
Yeah. Cause I mean, how fair is that to talk about Royal Oak with Ferndale right next door?
Yeah, it's true. All right, so couple with the other three, number three, know what you know. Basically, build your team to handle what they know. The brewer brews, the marketer markets. Don't try to jump outside and, you know, wreck the ship.
At least not right.
Oh, wow, dude.
And, you know, do things that you don't know that to do. Own the atmosphere. Just as much time that's need to be invested in the atmosphere and the vibe as there is with the generation of the recipes that you're going to use with your beer. So, you know, definitely go for the atmosphere that you want and what you want in your location. And the last one, which is some other brewery that I won't mention that should have did this in the first fucking place, the first time they fucking moved in, the first 2.5 years they've been there, Jesus. Is embrace the damn community. And I know, I got a little bitter there. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell us how you really feel.
Hey, Evan, sorry.
You're never cool. What the hell's wrong with you?
Wait, oh, that wasn't about Baffin?
No. What the fuck? No.
I'm just kidding.
I know. But obviously one of the big things that you, if you're going to be a brewery that is going to be in a community, that you should do what you can to support the locals and the local business. You know, build out your brewery with things that come from the community. You know, fundraise for community things that are going on. For charities and events, and just be community minded. Now, if you're going to be sure. there.
Enough
you
know, said.
Yeah.
For sure.
Enough said.
Makes sense.
I agree.
All right. We're going to take like a half break reset. We got two more beers to try from Da Hops. We will be right back with the Better on Draft podcast. And we are back 202. I was about to say 102. 202. Whoa, better on Draft Podcast.
202.
Lost 100 episodes right there. I had the laptop cam off, but I've slammed Red Bull number 2, so I am definitely awake now, ready to go. And I'm going to be I don't think this show might get posted before, but I will be at the Grand Rapids Beer, Wine and Food Festival tomorrow. So if you do see me, come on out. I might have some swag for you. I'm just going to carry like a little backpack of like shirts and glasses and stuff, and if people come up and say hi, be like, oh, I love your show, then I might give you something. And if you say, oh, I hate your show, well, I might give you something.
Right.
That means you just know our show, and that's all I care about.
Yeah, I'm lying.
So we were talking during the break. This smoked lager is amazing.
Thanks, man.
Like, I
want to go get some ribs.
I want
to eat that shit with it.
Go to Burt's.
Yeah.
If this could be at Burt's with my, like, smoked tips.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. So for the non-local here, Burt's is a downtown barbecue staple of basically just old school soul food and karaoke.
Is it better than Slo's?
Yeah.
Yes. Slo's is, Slo's is vastly overrated. It's just because it was on a TV show.
Slo's to barbecue is National Coney Island to Coney Islands.
I haven't had one yet, man. I'm gonna make it a point to get a Coney.
Lafayette.
Tomorrow.
It's there. Oh, where, yeah. You gotta go, that's great. You gotta go to Lafayette downtown.
Go to Lafayette.
They're open
Lafayette
until 3 or 4 a.m. tonight.
Yeah. I'm saying you're not going home tonight, so go to Lafayette right now. After this, just go to Lafayette.
American and Lafayette are next door to each other. One of them looks like a 60s diner. And one of them looks like Rob wouldn't be allowed to go in.
Damn.
Like a 50s diner?
Troubled times ahead.
I mean,
shit.
Like, it's got like the 60s upbeat vibe at American, and then 50s looks, you know, very white.
We're suddenly just walking down the street like we're in Selma. I get it.
Yeah. Jesus. I mean, it's not racist if it looks it.
But is it?
Yeah, it kind of is.
Totally.
I love you, Rob. This smoked beer is good. We got 2 more beers to try from DeHops. Let's crack wine open.
Yeah.
Let's do that non-coffee brown.
Right on.
I'll save that one for the last.
Yeah, it's our Brahms.
I'm
going to
be
best.
Very upset. Well, I'm probably going to like it better than the smoked lager, but I love it.
I think you'll dig it.
What does the smoked lager crank in at? Because the ABV isn't on the can.
It's 5.9. Yeah.
There's like just the right amount of smoke that's in there.
Like, yeah, I don't get overpowered. Was it Anchorage? Anchor Steam?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a smoked porter? Am I making that up?
Anchor Steam.
Atwater made one. And Atwater was just like, it was way too much smoke.
I know Wolverine does one, and they won at GABF for theirs. So I need to go out and try it. I want to try it.
Right Brain made one.
Isn't the Magnalista Porter a smoked porter?
I believe that is it. Or so, maybe it's just pig parts.
What's Wolverines and Ann Arbor? I mean, you can detour 96, you could kind of make Ann Arbor on your way home if you wanted to tomorrow.
Yeah, we hit Holmes last time we were out in Detroit.
Holmes is good. I've gone twice, and both times were company holiday parties where the entire brewery was. One of them was like the Toyota one. And I was just like, I walked in, and someone was the host or security or whatever up front, maybe it was a bartender, just said, you ain't coming in today unless you're part of the party. And I'm like, all right. I mean, it wasn't rude or anything like that. Like, I walked in, and I knew I wasn't going to continue walking in.
Right.
As I grow older, I don't like crowds.
You don't like the lines at the beer fest, so I mean that seems natural progression.
To me, that's just a waste of time.
Yeah.
When there's 1,000 beers for me to try and there is a line right next to where there's no line right next to where there is a line, I'm gonna go try it.
Yeah.
What's crazy is that I've gone to so many of these festivals now that there isn't too many new breweries or new beers, obviously, but new breweries to where, because at my goal, I want to try breweries that I've never had before.
Right. Mm.
And I'll look in, I'll be like, oh, I know you. Oh, shit. Like, thankfully, I haven't been, like, I'll be able to do things when I go back on, like, a full beer, like, able to drink more than once a week, and like, unless I'm obviously out of state,
right?
Because I was the one that was posting all those Seattle posts this week. That's for sure. That was fun. The Fremont Ballard area of I think there's a Lagunitas over there too. The Fremont Ballard area of Seattle is definitely a place to go if you're looking to do a good bar hop brewery tour. And the prices for hotels up there is actually pretty cheap because that's north of Seattle. And I was getting them for like $110 to $125 a night at like a Best Western.
Yeah, that ain't bad.
I don't know about that. Yeah,
yeah, it's not a Motel 4.
Right.
I mean, I like Red Roof Inn. The Red Roof Inn Pluses, when they remodeled them and named them Red. Oh my God, those are so nice. It's so weird because like you think Red Roof Inn is such not a low quality brand, but a low price brand. But damn,
I just remember the commercials with Martin Mull.
They sponsor the show, I'm assuming.
Who?
Red Roof Inn?
No,
they don't.
No, that was a free plug for Red Roof Inn.
Right.
I'm more keen towards Best Western because their continental breakfasts are best.
Oh, yeah.
They usually have some type of meat, whether it's sausage links, sausage patties, or bacon, scrambled eggs. And when you're keto, ding.
When you're keto, dude. Bingo square.
Bingo.
It's a perfect place to go because most continental breakfasts are cereal, bagels, muffins, and
I want to make my own
all
damn waffles.
The carbs. Or make fruit, which is all the carbs, too. All
right. Nick, you got a opinion on this one?
I'll let you know.
Give me a sip on that sucker.
Yeah, so that's Brahms Best, our Austrian red lager.
You were telling us how the name came about.
Yeah, we host we try to host as many naming competitions as we can through social media.
Pat would win all of these.
yes. Some clever names.
Here, you can go ahead. All
right.
Yeah, so we just, you know, we put a poll up on, like, Facebook and social media. We tell you a little bit about the beer. And, you know, I think for this one we gave away a Mug Club membership. It's just a cool way to get the community involved, especially our regulars and drinkers, you know. Our neighborhood drinkers, especially, but yeah, this one has been near and dear to our heart as well. It's kind of been our mainstay lager, as well as the Schwarz beer. But this guy won a silver at World Beer Championship in Chicago this year as well. So
we did have a question from the chat that I missed. I hope he's still in the chat. Obviously, if not, he will listen to it because I know he likes to listen to our show. Any Firkin casks over at De Hops?
We haven't done any yet, but we've tapped beers out of pumpkins. We've made pumpkin firkins. We've
how'd
done
that work
pumpkin
out
firkins. Great. We've done it twice now every Halloween.
I know how much Dan would love that, and Dan's listening right now, so next time you're in town, Dan, we'll head over there for a pumpkin firkin beer.
I'm sure just as you say this, like, oh, fuck you. I'm not drinking that.
It's only on Halloween, and it's gimmicky, but it's fun, and people love it. And it's just a good time, man. Yeah, we the first year we did it, we hollowed out two pumpkins, and we did like a pumpkin spice blonde ale. And then we did a actually the
was
stout.
Was the intention pumpkin spice blonde ale?
Yeah, it was everything you're thinking. Yeah, absolutely.
Did you call it the Ugg beer?
Ugg. No, we didn't give it a special name. But the other one was a stout where we infused some caramel and milk chocolate, and then we served them in tulips that were lined with caramel chocolate and put a ghost peep on it and then filled the beer. It was gimmicky as hell, but it was super fun, and we sold a lot of it. But awesome. Firkins, we have not done any firkins.
No firkins.
But pumpkin stuff.
All right.
We did pumpkin stuff. To answer your initial question, Rob, the one that the Brahms Best, super clean, crushable.
Malty.
Awesome.
I'm loving this. Like that light
very
sweetness
good.
That kind
of
comes off of it.
Yeah, light sweetness for sure.
No, this is really good.
Thanks, man.
This
appreciate
really,
it.
Really
Dan is in the chat, and he says, people who hate themselves drink pumpkin beer. Dan, thank you for listening and supporting the show. You should come on sometime.
Yeah, you should, you know, leave.
Tell us how you really feel about pumpkin beer, Dan.
I was going to say.
Oh, wait, we already have.
He was on. We did the special Arizona episode when I went to Arizona.
Yeah.
We did Tap That AZ. Great podcast name. If you're looking at Arizona beer or want to get, if you're heading to Phoenix or Tempe or anything like that and you want to get a leg up on Arizona beer, go check out Tap That AZ. But we also did the Shop Beer Co., who their beer was so. What's your, like, pint or your price range for your beers?
All of our lagers are in the $5 range. The hazies get upwards of $7. Our barrel aged beer, like the barley wine, it's 12.5%. We charge $8 for a 10-ounce pour. I think it's relatively approachable.
Yeah, we were talking to the Shop Beer Co. and talking about their pricing because, like, their hazies were like $5 for a pint.
That's crazy. That's how.
He's like, wait. He's like, wait. We can charge more for this. I'm like, well, I don't know if you can charge more for this, right. But people
just don't break even.
No, we got a chance. I actually brought back a couple. I think it was called like a Flying Dolphin or something to do with a dolphin. It's a New England IPA, so it's nothing that I'm gonna write home too much about. But like the New England craze. I was talking to one of the brewers over at Rubens, and he was talking about how like the New England craze and Seattle hit right after it hit us here in Detroit. Like, it hit us with M43. Where were you in 2016?
Chicago.
So how was it like in Chicago at 2016? Was New England being a thing?
Yes.
Or did it kind of, okay.
It was huge. It was so big. In fact, I remember people bringing M43 in and doing side-by-sides with
their own.
With Chicago breweries, yeah. Wow. But everybody, I mean, I think going back into like to like 2014, maybe 2015, just a massive NEIPA presence in Chicago.
How you feel about seltzers is how I feel about New England,
dude. Yeah, for sure.
There is a lot of brewers that do not like making the New Englands, but make it because it's just a money grab, not a money grab, but.
It goes against everything that they know in terms of making the beer.
Well, it's what's funny, right? Being a lager house, and we have two on. We do a mango milkshake IPA as well.
What about an IPL?
We haven't done an IPL, but
we
are
New England IPL. Can that happen? A Neeple?
Neeple.
That's great.
We should make that a thing.
Yeah.
We haven't done it, but no, I can. I mean. In my head, I got processes already. How would you do it?
Call it Neeple Rings.
Neeple Rings. but no, the whole NEIPA, that's how I felt too, for sure. Until we put one on. And then we flew through it in 3 weeks. And then we're like, all right, well.
Gotta change when you start making money.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, man. You got to be in the business to make money. And for sure. I enjoy them, though. I think they're fun, and they have their place. They taste great. They're approachable to a lot of non-craft beer drinkers. They ring the register. They get butts in the seats. It's they have their place, for sure. And I enjoy drinking them, you know. So
we're going to be winding down here soon. What's 2020 look like for DeHops and for Eric?
We're going to be expanding our distribution range, for sure. We might jump into canning here soon. Just for in-house and maybe one or two local accounts.
We're going to be buying a single canner or buying a full line or just bringing in
a single
canning.
Canner. Okay. Yeah, we're looking right now at a micro canner line. We just purchased a 10-barrel unitank so that we can keep up with distribution demand, which allows us to, you know, dedicate more of the fun ales to be kegged off and distributed, as well as maintaining our 50% fermentation space to lagers, you know, dedicating them to lagers. So it allows us to just, you know, grow, have fun.
So that's DeHops. What about you? Like, what do you want to make next year? What do you want to expand? What do you want to try?
It
sounds like they give you a lot of leeway.
Yeah, I have a lot of freedom there,
for sure,
which I am very thankful for. I love it. I mean, I came from a 20-barrel brew house in Chicago. To go to a 5-barrel brew house here in Michigan is just like, it's just like playing again. I feel it brought me back to, like, you know, fall in love with just creativity and the artistic side. But no, I want to keep pushing the Michigan or the lagers to West Michigan, and hopefully, you know, catching that wave when that wave does come, and you know, being recognized as one of the better lager houses in West Michigan. So,
Cubs or White Sox?
Sox fan.
Ooh.
There you go.
Bears or Lions?
Oh, come on. That's not even a question.
At least one's got a Super Bowl. Shit.
Hey, the Lions were a dynasty in the 50s. Remember that?
They had in like the 50s.
Three championships.
Before the Super Bowl. I remember that.
Pre-Super Bowl.
Yeah. Y'all have been saying, all right, next year since 1957.
I haven't. Just let you know.
I don't know how you hold on to those tickets, man.
My father.
Because nobody wants them.
So they've been in my family since 1980. So it's a little hard. And yeah. I get that on social media. I've actually gotten that question more on social media this year than any other year previous.
What about the 0-16 year?
I didn't get that shit once.
Really?
Yeah.
That's maybe because not many people were watching the games because they were blackout.
I think the NFL changed the blackout rules.
Yeah, they changed it recently.
Yeah, within like the last 5 or 6 years or something like that. But yeah, it's just it's hard. Yeah, but it's hard to get rid of at the same time.
Right.
So I'll just be the masochist and just.
I mean, dude, there's nothing wrong with supporting your team, for sure.
As a Sox fan,
I totally get it.
Yeah, I mean, so I was a season ticket holder for the Tigers simultaneously with the Lions. When the Tigers had their World Series playoff runs, you know, those couple of years, and then when they started going down the shitter, it's like, okay, what am I going to get rid of, the Tigers or the Lions? Well, this is an easy one. It's going to be the Tigers because of my time, my family's time vested with the Lions. And Ken, you obviously know. You've been to some of the games with me.
Yeah. Remember that Dallas game that they won?
Yeah, I actually brought that up last Sunday to my wife when we went. And
yeah, we left a game. Now, mind you, there was good cause because they were down by 2 touchdowns, and the bar that we were going to, we had already purchased a $10 ticket for unlimited Oberon, which they told us we could get it when we came back. So we went back, and as we walked into like the bus, they scored a touchdown. And by the time we got back to the bar, we watched them. That was the drive where
you
watched
him win it.
The fake spike. Which I don't like. I love Matt Stafford. I think Matt Stafford has probably one of the biggest hearts in the game. He is
that whole family. Does.
He is a player, and he wants to bring something good to the city.
And he'll probably be a Charger next year.
Wow!
You can play for the Bears, man. That's cool. I'll take him.
Phil Rivers, is that
a BAP bold ass prediction?
Phil Rivers retires, and then suddenly,
I mean,
Stafford
I'm pretty sure
for the
Bears
Chargers
will take anyone.
Yeah, Cam Newton, give us Colin.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Danny Dimes.
Danny Dimes.
Chase Daniel.
Danny Dimes just got the Chase New York. Daniel he ain't going anywhere.
Connor Cook. Oh, wait. He's in the XFL.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Go on, Ryan.
I was going to throw this beer around because people need to get this pour, because this was the beer that lost last week from the Taste of Tavor. This is the Berliner's Field.
We'll go 5 minutes long because I want to try that coffee brown on air.
Yeah. All right. We're going to go to overtime here.
All right. Berliner style Weiss with pink guava that comes from Dionysus Brewing out in Bakersfield, California.
Sounds like a bacteria that ruins your beer.
So, kind of like the Emerald Grouper.
That lactobacillus.
So that's the one that Ken had voted
mixes,
for.
Like,
that
diacetyl with that lactobacillus.
Diacetyl.
But that is one of the many beers that you can get on Tavor, which is an app that you can find on at the Apple Store.
That's
or
Tavour.
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 Tavour. And you can grab that sucker from the Apple Store or Android and pretty much let you buy some beers that you normally can't find around here in Michigan and have them shipped to your house for the low, low price of $14.
I saw a few Michigan breweries that are on there.
There are. There are a few Michigan breweries that have showed up. There are a couple breweries that do get distributed to Michigan that have been showing up. Interestingly enough, one of the beers that we had about a month ago, Anchorage Brewing's Endless Ending, that the mixture of their stout and their barley wine popped up again this week. So if this episode gets posted tomorrow, then basically you've got about 3 days to go get one of those. It is $34.99 a bottle. However, the promo code is still out there, Robear, R-O-B-E-A-R, which will, for new users, give you a $10 credit for those who spend over $25 on beer. So if you get one of those bottles, you get a $10 credit. You can buy something else with that $10. So get at it.
Good deal. All right. Let's see what this
is. Pink Guava Sour.
That's mad refreshing, man.
Yeah, I shouldn't have had that before the
coffee.
Brown ale.
Should I go get some water?
No, I'm gonna drink maybe some of this Flying Buffalo before I
Flying some, Buffalo Biatch.
And of a Flying Buffalo Biatch. There's no coconut in it.
All right, so you guys are located off of what's that, M45?
Yeah, right on Lake Michigan there. We're on Lake Michigan and Cummings.
Not the actual lake. The road, yeah. Lake Michigan.
Yep, just the road.
Lake Michigan Road.
Lake Michigan Road.
There you go.
Yep. A good way to potentially start a Grand Rapids brew tour. You know, you start outside the city, you know, get a good one, come into the city, and finish off the night by going through there. Yeah, I'm looking at, so you got Osgood down in Gradville. You got Trail Point to the west of you. Going north, there is a brewery that's going to be opening here soon called Ed Dunback and Girls Farm. Fun fact, if you didn't know.
No, new to me.
All right. All that information, obviously, is available over at mibeermap.com. You can find out all the breweries that are opening, or sadly closed. We have all that information as well as border breweries. So if you're heading towards, you know, Chicago, Ohio, Indiana, Wisconsin, I think we have a few Canadian in there. I know I got to add more for the actual Canadian breweries that are like in Windsor and stuff. But I guess we have somebody's been updating our map. Thank you, Bill. So we have, it looks like, five breweries in Windsor that you can go check out. Looks like there's one close to Caesars, too. So when I lose all my money, I can just go walk over there.
Apparently somebody in the chat is saying that Eric is so hot.
Eric is so hot. Congratulations, Eric.
That's probably my wife.
Is your wife named Benjamin?
No, I can guess who that is.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's crack open that brown.
All right, let's do it.
Let's finish the show.
The grand finale.
So you guys are on Instagram at @thehops_brewing.
Cooked to Gracie. Is that a Daffy Duck thing?
Oh, my God. Dude, right. I have not liked any. It's no offense to Tavor, but.
Sour?
None of these beers that Tavor have sent. Are you the one choosing these beers? And
No. They're marketing people just basically pick what's out there.
Because if you are, then we're going to be looking for a third and fourth host.
Wow.
No. They are making the picks. I thought about bringing the Hubbard's Cave Simcoe. I think it's called One Fresh Hop.
Yeah, I know those guys.
But it was Chicago, like Hubbard's Niles. Cave gets distributed here, so I didn't really. I thought about bringing it, but I was like, no, they get distributed here. I didn't want to bring it.
What's in your fridge right now, Eric?
Hams.
Hams.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's because of Ben. Yeah, if that's Ben I'm thinking of, he's the head brewer at a Harmony.
Isbell is the last name.
Yeah, that's my homie.
Yep.
Hams or Hams Light?
It's the stando. Standard. Heavy. Hams Heavy.
Hams
Heavy. There's a heavy?
What is that? Well, it's like instead of 4%, is that like 4.1% or something?
Hams Boulder.
Hams Boulder.
Boulder Hams.
Boulder.
Whew. As there is definitely the coffee notes.
Oh,
coffee
man. Note. I just had the Modern Times coffee just because I wanted to make sure I had it.
Yeah, I slammed the Modern Times.
Ooh, that was a mistake.
Yeah, my palate.
That's a sippy beer.
My palate's super dry now.
Yeah. No, all that right. I'm liking. I mean, like the coffee is. I mean, it's not even.
It's a latte
in
a glass.
You ready for this?
Oh,
we got some trivia. So Hams is actually owned by Miller Brewing, but it is actually one of the top 20 largest breweries in the country.
I believe it's good shit.
What number do you think it is?
Is that a question for the table?
I mean, you guys can answer it too. But I mean, Hams Boy over here.
Hams being.
I'm an old style guy.
He's calling you Hams Boy.
Yes, but I had my fridge. I got leftovers too. I would guess 12.
What do you guys think?
I'm going to say 17.
I say my head was at 16.
Fifth.
Get the fuck out of here.
Fifth largest brewery.
No fucking way.
How many breweries do they have that make Hams beer?
Shit, to be fifth? I mean,
it's out of Milwaukee, so.
Yeah, but they have multiple breweries.
Like around the nation?
Yes.
I will say seven.
That brew Hams Brewing.
I'm going to say three. Got to be one in Golden. Okay. Golden, Colorado. Golden. It's got to be one in New York.
Like freaking outlandish. I'll say nine.
Cut it between three and seven. It's five. St. Paul, San Francisco, L.A., Baltimore, and Houston. Jesus.
Every corner
that's
of the country.
More than U.S. mints.
Shit. Almost as many Federal Reserve banks. Shit.
Hmm?
I'm just looking at random Hams beer facts.
is that a website? RandomHamsBeerFacts.com?
RandomHamsFacts.
So
RandomHams?
So Hams Heavy is actually called Hams Premium. And Hams Light is actually called Hams Special Light.
So Eric, I think you'll appreciate this. Have you heard of the Fulling Warehouse by any chance?
Yes.
Okay, so they have the Mystery Machine, which is a vending. Cool. Yep. So, and in the Mystery Machine, you get a random beer.
It's like what? It's like $3.
Yeah.
Well, there's different price points.
Okay. But they have like a three, a five, and like a six, or a three, four, five, six. And the $3 one is like your
dude. I hope like crushable. The $6 one will still come with the Hams every once in a while.
Like the $3 one is going to be like your PBR, your Miller High Life, your Milwaukee's Beast, and of course your Hams, and then your Hams Light, which I've gotten once before.
For $3.
I mean, you know, I really got to appreciate Chris and them over at Fulling Warehouse.
It's cool. I definitely want to go.
Yeah, it's.
We have an axe throwing in Chicago. I'm sure you guys have it out
here. Yep.
But I remember
where the old Big Buck was. Is there axe throwing and
urban
bowling?
Urban bowling.
Because Fulling is trademarked.
Oh, is it?
You know, they're opening another axe throwing place over in. On the east side,
they have one in Ferndale.
Well, they got one going in Clinton Town, in the Clinton Township, coming up.
I did it with you. They did it at work. We went to Nashville and they're like, oh, let's go axe throwing. I'm like, no, I'm just like, I'm gonna have to like just sit around and wait and watch people. Like, I'm just gonna go work out. And I just went back to my hotel. This was by far the most. I'm not gonna name the place in Nashville, but it was the biggest like rip-off hotel ever, because this place has a pillow menu for you, so a menu for what kind of pillow you want between like firm or not firm and stuff. When you go down to their workout facility, they had one treadmill, one bike, one elliptical, and that's it.
It's no Red Roof Inn, man.
I have been to Red Roof Inns with better fitness centers for sure. This place also, they're like, oh, we have a Peloton. And I'm like, wow, okay.
Fancy.
So my coworker called because she has a Peloton, and she's like, oh, what kind of like wheels or straps or whatever, I don't know what they call it, pedals that they have. And they're like, oh, we don't have it. And I'm like, oh, well, shit. Half the stuff that they'd say that they have, they don't anymore.
Oh, bogus.
I also went, and this is the area we were in. I walked down to the local liquor store. And they were selling singles. And I'm like, oh, okay, I can go grab a couple singles, because that's what it says on their little, not Yelp page, but like Google. It says beer singles. I'm like, okay, I can grab a few beer singles, grab a thing of whiskey. And beer singles was like Coors Light.
Oh, jeez.
And I mean, I almost bought one, but the gas station had 16s or 24s of White Claw, so I was good to go. Jeez. Guys, that's going to do it for us here. Better on Draft. Eric from Da Hops. How do you say it? Is it D-Hops, Day-Hops?
D-Hops. D-Hops Brewing Company and Cafe, yeah.
Like, what do you like about the beer? I like D-Hops.
D-Hops. Yeah. What are you having? I'll have a D-Hops.
I'll have a D-Hops.
D-Hops is good.
All right. You can find them online. Facebook, D-Hops. Instagram, D-Hops. Brewing, _brewing. Twitter, you said you don't know.
Somewhere. We have a Twitter. Yeah. Somewhere. I don't use Twitter. So, but I can.
You ain't tweeting.
I'm not tweeting.
You're not trending.
Not trending. I ain't viral either.
I can go more ways than one. That's going to do it better on Dread. Don't forget to check out our sponsors: Zatuna Liquor, North Center Brewing, Tavor, Ferndale set, Michigan Beer Box, t-shirts.beer. I believe that's everyone.
I think so.
Don't forget, we are off next week, and we are looking for a fourth host. So if you want to join us each and every Friday in studio in Royal Oak, reach out to us, betterondraft@gmail.com. And no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's...
Better on Draft. No, I'm just kidding. You
better on Draft! Have a good night.
Peace.